Invite you to take your Bibles once again and turn now to the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 3. Tonight our focus is going to be verse 4 through 10 of Jonah chapter 3. We read it together last time and considered the earlier verses of Jonah chapter 3. Tonight we're revisiting this chapter and considering further the repentance that takes place in Nineveh and the effect of God's word as Jonah preached it there. There is an outline in your bulletin if you'd like to use that. I'm going to actually begin the reading at chapter 2, verse 10. And then I'll read down through chapter 3, verse 10. Let's once again hear now the living and active word of God. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. The word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he issued a proclamation and published through Nineveh, "By the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish." When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. Let's stop and ask for God's blessing together. Our triune God, we ask that you would speak to us through your word tonight. We see the power of your word in a wicked city. We ask that your word would be used powerfully in our hearts tonight and beyond, even in our city and in our nation. So Lord, give us ears to hear. Help us to understand your word and rightly apply it. Help us to see Jesus Christ and put our faith in him and know your mercy. We pray this all in his name. Amen. Well, tonight we've really come to the crux, the climax of Jonah. The tension and the plot of the story have reached their peak. The message from God has finally been delivered to Nineveh. And as we read, we wonder, is Jonah going to be killed? Will Nineveh even care? Will they listen? How are they going to respond? And then how is God going to respond? Will he overthrow this city? Will Nineveh be the next Sodom and Gomorrah? Will they be wiped out? Of course, we've just read what happened, and many of you know the story, and it's a remarkable, amazing story. The people of Nineveh hear God's word. They respond to God's word. They believe they repent and God withholds justice. He does not destroy them. He shows them mercy. The words of Isaiah 55 come to mind as I read this passage, and I think they're vividly pictured in this account today. God says there, "Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Friends, this story tonight is a call for you to hear, for you to listen, that you may live. It's a call to each one of you to seek the Lord, to repent now, to forsake your wicked way, and to see the compassion and mercy of God, how he abundantly pardons. The message from God's living word to you tonight from this amazing story is to repent and to stand in awe of the mercy of God. Repent of your sins, believe in God, and be amazed at his mercy to sinners. Once again, see the power of his word and how you must respond to it with repentance and faith. Well, tonight, as we look at this story together, I want us to consider how Nineveh responded to God's warning in his word, and then how God responded to Nineveh. My hope is that it will teach us more about God's merciful character and how we ought to respond to him. And so first, we see in Nineveh's response that we must also respond to the word. We need to respond to the word of God. What was it that Nineveh heard and responded to? Was it the threat of a plague? A powerful army besieging them? Was it some superstitious scare that spread through the city? Was it a throng of men's voices calling out against them? No. It was one mere man with one simple but clear message. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. It was a message from the living God. It was the word of God, the sword of the Lord. Nineveh responded to the word of God as delivered simply and faithfully by one small, timid, and even reluctant voice. Nineveh ultimately responded to a word from heaven, from their creator. It was ultimately his voice that they heard. It was not Jonah's, as we considered last time. And the text says they believed God. Listen again to verses 4 and 5. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. They believed God because they had listened to and heard him through the voice of Jonah, his messenger who delivered his word. And brothers and sisters, when you hear the word of God read or faithfully preached, who do you hear? Who are you to respond to? You must hear God, not man. He is who you must listen to and respond to, the living God of the universe, the source of all truth and life and wisdom and hope. Listen to and respond to him. Men listen to and fill their ears with all sorts of voices. We hear and we respond to many things. We take so much into our ears. And there is much that we respond to. Sometimes it's fear. Man's wisdom, money, power, our own lazy, selfish desires or idols. But we need to be first and foremost people who are driven to action, who respond to the word of God, who hear, who listen, and act based on the word of God. His word contains the words of life. His word is pure. It's sweeter than honey. It is better than gold. It is true and right. It is the good news of the gospel. Remember, it's his word that God uses to effectually call sinners to repent and to believe in him, to call them to life. That's what he did here in Nineveh. And this is the message we must carry boldly in this world. Sinners must hear this and respond to God's word, God's message. Romans 10, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Respond to God's word. And that leads to a second way this text calls us to respond. And that is, we have to respond to God's word with faith. Respond with faith. Believe what we hear from the Lord. This is what we see happening on a grand scale across all levels of society in Nineveh. Verse 5 again. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. Again, they believed God. If they had only responded with fear and sorrow and sackcloth, that would have not been true faith or repentance. But we read here that they had faith in God. They believed him. They also had faith that he might have mercy on them. Look at verse 8 and 9. Let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. Nineveh didn't hear the warning and simply pity themselves and just say, we're doomed. But they believed and they said, who knows? God may turn and relent. And then they call out to God in prayer. Now, certainly this was not a mature, fully developed faith. But nevertheless, this was true faith. It may have been small and weak, but faith is not so much about the amount or the strength of faith of those who are believing, but it's about the object of that faith. And what was the object of their faith? God. They believed God. They called out to him. They hoped that he might show mercy to them. One reason it seems that Nineveh's response was true faith is because they acted on that faith. The king issues a proclamation. He calls for sackcloth and fasting and ashes. And we were talking in our house last night, what's sackcloth? What are ashes? What's the significance of that? Well, it was not comfortable, and it was a mess, and it was a way to show, it was an outward way to show inward repentance and humility and help foster that. So the king calls for sackcloth and fasting and for everyone to do the same and to call out to the living God. And so they did, from the greatest to the least. All levels of society in this city were calling out to God. Jesus said in Luke chapter 11 that Jonah became a sign to the people of Nineveh and that they repented at his preaching. Jonah was a sign because they must have heard his story. He must have shared some of what he went through. His rebellion, his initial call from God, but his rejection of that and running from God. And God pursuing him and judging him and saving him by means of the fish. God's power and mercy in Jonah's life. And God's delivering him. And that became a sign to the people of Nineveh. A sign of God's power. A sign of God's mercy. A sign of his reality, his existence. A sign that would have confirmed Jonah's message. That would have underlined the fact that they needed to listen to this messenger of this God. also a sign for them, encouraging them. If God was merciful to this rebellious man who was his servant, perhaps God might show mercy to us as well. If God showed mercy to Jonah, perhaps if we humble ourselves and believe and repent, he might show us this same mercy. And so they respond with faith. And friends, are you responding to God's word with true faith? Do you respond to the gospel with belief in God? Do you trust that which you hear from him? Do you truly listen and believe? And if so, do you act upon that? True faith acts. It responds. It doesn't just believe in heart and mind, but it expresses that in the will with the hands. Read Hebrews 11 and notice this pattern. Faith leads to action, to change, to following God's word, to living a new life. And so, friends, respond to God's word with faith, with a humble, living, active faith. Tonight, you have a greater sign. Jesus Christ and his resurrection, you have the greater prophet, Jesus. You have a more clear message of judgment and salvation because Christ has come, the Son of God, and he has risen from the dead. Hear his message of life and death and salvation and believe. Respond with faith. Respond also, third tonight, with repentance. We need to respond to God's word with repentance. We see that here in this passage as the word of God comes to Nineveh and it changes them and it cuts to the heart. Look again with me at verses 6 through 8. The word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he issued a proclamation and published through Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. As I said before, I think last time, this may be the largest, most widespread, rapid revival and repentance in all of history. Life in Nineveh stood still. I just want you to imagine the scene. This exceedingly great, powerful, wicked city saw an immediate need to drop everything and respond in a radical way to the words of this one man sent from God. This entire city is brought to their knees, and they begin fasting in sackcloth and ashes. As I've already said, this is a common way in the ancient world to show grief and sorrow and repentance. It was an outward act, but if it was done sincerely, it represented and fostered true inward sorrow and humility. I want you to notice again how the king responded. When the word reaches the king, he doesn't say, "Who is this madman? What is this madness? Away with him." Listen again to how the king responds in verse 6. The word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. The king goes from a state of royalty and luxury to sackcloth and ashes. But he's not satisfied with that. He then, with his nobles, issues a decree calling for citywide fasting, sackcloth, repentance, and prayer to the true living God. This was an idolatrous, wicked, pagan city. And the king is calling for repentance and prayer to the real God, calling for what appears to be true repentance. Now, true repentance has multiple aspects, but at the heart of all true repentance is the idea of turning. And it's really a twofold turning. There's both turning away from sin, and there's also turning to God. Imagine you're hiking and you realize something is wrong. You've been going the wrong way, and you're given a map, and it shows that you're actually headed straight for a cliff. Well, if you're wise, not only do you turn away from that cliff, turn away from the wrong direction, you turn toward the right direction and begin going in the right way. You head the right way. Well, true repentance does the same. It sees it has been wrong. It sees sin. It sees danger. And it turns from that. And it also turns toward God and His grace and His mercy. We see Nineveh doing both. They have grief and sorrow over their sin. They're fasting. They're in sackcloth. The king calls them to turn from their evil and from their violence. The king actually gets specific. He knows that there's violence in this city and that it is wrong and that it must be repented of. And really, all true turning from sin must be specific. You can't just repent and turn from sin generally. You must acknowledge specific wrong and sin. And so Nineveh turns from sin. And Nineveh also turned to God. We've considered this already. They believed God, verse 5. And they're seeking Him in prayer. They're calling out to this God who has said He is going to destroy them. So they're seeking Him in prayer. They're hoping that He might have mercy on them. And friends, when you are made aware of your sin, when you realize you have been going in the wrong direction, away from God, do you repent? Will you repent? Will you turn from that? Will you acknowledge that and humble yourself? Turn from that sin and turn to the Lord and call out to Him for forgiveness and mercy. In Matthew 12, Jesus used Nineveh. It may have been the same occasion, but Jesus used Nineveh to issue a grave warning to the religious people of His day who were not believing in Him, who were not repenting at His teaching and preaching. And He said to the effect, Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah, but Christ is now here. A far greater prophet has come and has spoken, is doing mighty deeds, and yet so many do not repent. And He went on to say that the men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment and condemn the unbelief of that generation. Nineveh repented at the mere warning of one man. They had hardly anything to go on. Those in Jesus' day had so much more, and we have even more today. We have the full Word of God. We have the finished work of Jesus Christ, His incarnation, His life, His teaching, His death and resurrection and ascension. The Son of God in the flesh, the great prophet, the very Word of God in the flesh. Now, Nineveh could have come up with so many excuses, so many reasons for why not to believe Jonah's message, why not to believe God. And men come up with endless excuses and arguments today. But if you hear God's word and continue without faith and repentance, Nineveh condemns you. It's as if they say, what are you thinking? You have so much more evidence. You have so much more warning. You have more time. You have so much more revelation from God. You have the whole Bible and you're ignoring it. You don't believe. Are you really that proud and foolish? Do you really care more about living for and pleasing yourself for a few short years? Do you care more about that than your eternal existence? You listen to so many, but you refuse to listen to the living God who made you and who alone can save you. That does not make sense. And may none of you here be condemned by Nineveh and their repentance because you refuse to hear and repent and believe. May we learn from Nineveh to listen to God with humility and respond to his word. And if what I'm saying is true, if the warning given to Nineveh and their need for repentance applies to you and to me, and yet you've never truly responded, then you ought to be terrified. And I told you last time, I can't guarantee that you will have 40 days to repent. You must do something. This is not a message you can ignore or shrug off or think, you know, I'll think about that someday. You must repent and beg for God's mercy. Thank God that tonight you have the opportunity to repent of your sins and hear him calling to you. If you've already done that, and I know many of you have, I know many of you have a living faith in God and are living by faith, then thank God. Praise him for bringing you his word. Thank him for his mercy to you. Be in awe. Be humbled. Rejoice. What is truly amazing, what is such good news, is that God is merciful. And when sinners' hearts are penetrated and changed by his word and by a powerful work of his spirit, when they repent and believe by his sovereign plan and his grace, God responds with mercy. God is merciful. He withholds justice. He pours that out on Jesus Christ, but he withholds justice to whom deserve it, and he pours out mercy. And that's what we see in verse 10, and I want us to consider fourth and finally tonight how God responds. Look at how God responds in verse 10. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he said he would do to them, and he did not do it. Verse 10 brings us to really the high point of the story of Jonah. Up until this point, we don't know what is going to happen. We don't know how God will respond. We don't know how Nineveh is going to respond and how the Lord will respond. We don't understand why God has sent Jonah to Nineveh, why he's given him this message, but here we see why. It is to save sinners. It is to show his mercy and his power and his grace. It is to pull back the curtain just a little bit and give a preview of his plan to bless all the nations of the earth. And this is a down payment and an early installment, if you will, of the Great Commission and the gospel going forth to the nations. This is what the greater Jonah will bring about by his death and resurrection and preaching. Now, verse 10 can be somewhat challenging and confusing. If God is sovereign, if he's planned all things, if he's all-knowing, why does it say he saw and relented? It seems as though he changed his mind and changed the course that he was on due to an unknown response from Nineveh, as if God was sent his word and was waiting. How are they going to respond? The Bible often uses this sort of language, language that ascribes human characteristics to God. For example, it says right here, God saw, but God doesn't have eyes. He doesn't see in the way that we do. God does not actually change his mind based on the actions of men. It only appears to us as though he changes, and it's described that way for us to help us understand God's character and his activity in this world as man responds to him in time and space. This language accommodates to our finite minds and helps us to understand an infinite, unchanging being. God does know all things and sovereignly plans all things and does not change his plan. But he decrees both the end and the means. It was always God's plan for Nineveh to repent and to show them mercy. That was the end that he had planned. But the means he used to accomplish that was sending Jonah, this weak, reluctant prophet. Was his preaching and the widespread repentance and the revival that brought about his mercy. And God sending prophets and warning of judgment was a common way to call people to repentance and show mercy. Jeremiah 18, verse 7 through 8 is helpful to explain that. God says there, through Jeremiah, "If at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck it up and break it down and destroy it, and if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I intended to do to it." And that's what happened here in Nineveh. God relented. God turned away his wrath. And we can get a little bit sidetracked with these important questions, but the main point here is God's mercy to this people. God turns from punishing Nineveh. He withholds his just judgment for a vast number of undeserving sinners. And he's done so throughout all of history. He's doing so today. And he will do so for you and me if we repent and believe, if we look to Jesus for salvation. He does so because he is slow to anger. He's glorified in showing mercy. And in his justice, he can turn from punishing repentant sinners because he did not turn away from punishing Jesus Christ in our place. This is why he can be merciful and gracious to Nineveh and to you and me and still be just and holy as well. And so believe, repent, be amazed at this God and his mercy, his response to repentant sinners. This mercy of God, this love, this patience, and his grace towards sinners ought to grip us. It ought to amaze us over and over again. We're familiar with this story, but we should be stunned and amazed. I've been to the ocean many times, but every time I go to the ocean, I stand at the edge of the ocean, and I'm always amazed. I'm amazed at its sheer size and glory. I'm gripped by it. I'm mesmerized. I don't want to leave. Well, this scene of Nineveh's repentance and God's mercy is just a glimpse. It's just the edge of the vast ocean of his mercy and his love for sinners. And we ought to stand in awe as we think about his mercy to this city, his mercy to a great multitude in this sinful, violent world, his mercy to you and me. We ought to long with the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 3 to be able to comprehend what is the breadth and the length and the height and depth, to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. God responds with mercy, and it ought to amaze us. Well, that's the end of our story for tonight, but the story is not over, but there's much to reflect on and think about. You've been called tonight by this story of repentance and God's mercy to repent of your sin and stand in awe of God's mercy, to apply this close to home. But I want to close with a call to pray, to call out mightily to God as Nineveh did. We need to call out mightily to God. And I want you to pray for three reasons. First of all, pray if you have never truly repented of your sins. Pray that you would turn away from your sin in sorrow and in disgust and fear, acknowledging your need for God's mercy. turning to him and calling out to him mightily like Nineveh because you believe his word. You see the danger and destruction of your sin. But more than that, you see the great mercy of God in Christ. Have you done this? Have you begged God for mercy? Call out to him if you have not. Repent and believe. Confess your sins to him and beg him to forgive you through Jesus Christ. Second reason to call out to God to pray is to pray to the Lord for ongoing repentance and faith in your life. If you are in Christ, if you are trusting in him, if you belong to him, pray that you would repent daily and believe in him and submit to his word. Pray that you would daily and weekly respond to his word and walk in new obedience, forsaking sin and turning to him. Take time tonight, perhaps, to pray and repent of specific sins, and then stand in awe of his mercy to you. And then third and finally, pray for revival and repentance for the lost. Pray for revival and repentance for our neighbors, for our city, for our nation. We need an awakening. We need the word of God to come with power. We are like Nineveh in so many ways. People need to be warned. They need to repent and believe and taste the sweet mercy of God. And the revival here in Nineveh is forever a testimony of the power of God and his word. How he can change lives. How he can radically and quickly pour out mercy. Beg him for this. He is the same God. He delights to show mercy. His word is just as powerful today. Jesus is alive today. He is a greater sign. He is a greater prophet. He is a greater word from God. And if this is what he is capable of, we ought to ask him to do it. Don't be afraid to ask him. Don't be afraid of big prayers. Remember how John Knox would pray, "Give me Scotland." And so, brothers and sisters, pray for revival and repentance. Pray for true repentance and faith in response to God's word. Pray for ongoing repentance and faith in your life. And pray for widespread repentance and faith, a pouring out of God's mercy in Jesus Christ. And keep the words of Ephesians 3 in your heart and in your mind. We opened with these, and I want to close with them tonight. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for sparing Nineveh that day so long ago. We thank you for your mercy in the life of Jonah and for calling him again and sending him back to Nineveh. And we thank you for how you used your word so mightily in that wicked city. And we thank you for how it is a testimony, an ongoing testimony even to us today of your power and of why we must hear your word and respond with repentance and faith. We thank you for pouring out your mercy on them. We thank you for pouring out your mercy on us because you did not spare your only son and poured out our judgment on him in our place. And so, Lord, let us cling to Christ. We pray that everyone here would truly repent of their sins and trust in him. We pray that we would daily repent of our sins and hear and respond to your word. And Lord, we do pray that you would pour out your spirit in our day and in our city and in our nation and to the ends of the earth. Lord, let your word go forth with power and call all of your people out of darkness and into your light. And come quickly, Lord Jesus. We pray all of this in his name. Amen.